It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Podcast of the shows can be found there. And we've got this new thing that we're doing, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. We have 11 great podcasts there. And so be sure and go check those out. And another thing that we're doing is Headlines for Hope. They're little 3-minute snippets of could be about the America's founding or some of the stories about many of the World War II veterans that I've interviewed or some of the other veterans. So be sure and check that out as well. We've got a great show planned for you today. Chris Cantwell will be calling in this first segment to update us on buying and selling businesses. He is with Transworld Business Advisors. And then Pam Long, she is a former Army captain. She's a West Point grad, and she was served with the Army Medical Service Corps. We'll be calling in regarding, she's done both a podcast for us, which you can find out on the website at Sounding Off with Kim Munson, as well as this really important op-ed regarding the Colorado COVID-19 data and lessons learned from the 1918 influenza pandemic. And she'll be with us in segments 3 and 4. Producer Steve, how are you doing on this Tuesday morning?
It's better than Monday morning.
But you're getting closer to Friday morning, which You're always happy about. So,
you know, I'm always talking about memes and stuff. I saw a cool one yesterday. It says, in our vernacular of the last 20 plus years in terms of working with computers and stuff, it says 2020, can we reload the year 2020? It seems to have a virus.
Yeah, it does seem to have a virus. Yes, that there's a lot of viruses going around in 2020 as we are looking at these issues. My friends, you have to put on your thinking caps. And instead of just taking what these politicians and pundits and interested parties and bureaucrats are saying, you need to put on your thinking caps. And that is why this Rudyard Kipling quote is so important. And he says, I keep 6 honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And you all, you're smart. And so put on your thinking caps and start asking questions. Because what's happening to our economy, what's happening to our country is really, really serious. And so we need to start thinking about these things instead of just taking everything at face value. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately is force, and we're seeing all kinds of force coming down the pike. Governor Polis had his press conference yesterday. I've not gotten through the edict that came out late on Sunday night. And one of the real problems, Steve, that our businessmen and women have is they're not getting any clear answers. They don't know. They don't know if they're going to get to reopen or not reopen. And so this not knowing makes it very difficult to make any kinds of plans. And businesses cannot just at the flip of a switch turn their businesses back on. And so the fact that we have this lip service that we care about people and we're trying to help people, in essence, it's all about power. And I see these folks are getting drunk on power. My understanding is with this new edict, is it says that from Governor Polis that people are not to travel more than 10 miles from their homes. Now, I know a lot of folks that have wanted to go up to the mountains to hike, to be able to get away. It's like they want to use these laws. Well, they're not laws, because laws are passed by the legislature, which is the way it's supposed to be in the American form of government. So they are using these edicts that they put out and saying that you have to stay in your homes or near your homes. What kind of country are we in right now, Steve?
It seems to be one of their favorite tactics. Here you're using the word edicts, and I immediately think of Obama and all his czars that he put in place. You know, unelected, unaccountable. It's just, you know, their form, their way of governing.
Well, I was talking to somebody yesterday, very concerned about our country. And you hear many times people talk about term limits for these politicians. And, you know, and ideally in the form of the American form of government, it was supposed to be citizen representatives coming together to be representatives of the people so that you know, our government is of the people and by the people. But what has happened now is we've gotten into this administrative state where you have city managers, you have county managers, you've got all these different bureaucrats that are making edicts. They're rules and regulations. They're not laws. They're rules and regulations. And so we cannot really, I don't think term limits are going to do a bit of good, really, until we can have term limits on this whole administrative state, Steve. Does that make any sense to you? Oh, he must be answering the phone on that. I think that probably, hold on just a second here. One thing, it's so great when I can see him when I'm in the studio, but now that we're having to do this off-site, it makes it a little trickier here. As we look at the issues, though, we look at them as, okay, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force, and we have a front row seat right now on what socialism looks like, and it's not pretty. And I think we're going to come into maybe a new interesting thing with the government coming in, these politicians and bureaucrats closing down these meatpacking plants because of quote unquote COVID-19, which is of concern, sure. But how do we get them back up and running quickly? Because if we don't, we're going to start to have some pressure on our food supply. And so we need people to be looking for solutions instead of trying to close things down. So,
okay, I'm back. I'm sorry to leave you there. I had to get Chris Cantwell situated.
I know, you know,
what was
and
the
it's
question?
So much. we're past that now, Steve, so never mind.
Gee, okay.
But our quote for today, our inspiration, is from H.L. Mencken. He was Mencken, I think. He was an American journalist, essayist, you know what? I need to work on my pronunciations and all these things. A cultural critic and scholar of American English. He commented widely on the social scene, literature, music, prominent politicians, and contemporary movements. He was born in 1880. He died in 1956 at the age of 75. Now, Steve, this is pretty heavy. Okay, are you ready? It says, the urge to save humanity is always a false front for the urge to rule.
Well, his use of the word always makes it sound a little bit harsh, but there's probably a lot of truth there. And again, it goes back to your other quote about what, where, who, when, and how. You've got to be vigilant. You've got to see what their motivation really is.
Most definitely. That's why we have to ask these questions. So before we get to Chris, I have the funnies. Are you ready for that, Steve?
Oh, this is a good one. Yes, I cheated. I looked.
Okay. This was reported by the Patriot Post. And I want to make you, everybody needs to realize this Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party of JFK. Bernie Sanders and the squad have moved the Democrat Party to the radical activist left. So here you go. A woman said that she just found out that her father, a lifelong Republican, is now voting Democrat. She said he never would have done that when he was alive.
Are you sure that didn't come out of one of the Chicago newspapers?
It probably did. So let's jump on over here to Chris Cantwell. He is with Trans World Business Advisors. And he is, you know, he believes in the American idea and creativity and innovation and people building their businesses. And they get to a point where they need to sell it and somebody may want to buy it. And with this whole disruption, granted, there's a lot of things that are unknowns, but yet there's great opportunity. Chris Cantwell, Trans World Business Advisors, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Hello, Steve. I hope you both are doing well.
We are doing well. How about you?
You know, I'm hanging in there. Absolutely. I'm always optimistic. So even in these dark gray days, although I can see that it's a beautiful sunrise out there this morning, I always try to stay on the optimistic side.
Well, I know that about you. And it's an interesting time. What are you seeing on the business front right now, Chris Cantwell?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Kim. So first and foremost, it sounds like the PPP got refunded again last week. You know, we had all these hang-ups with the legislation, always trying to make their mark and not do the right thing for the people. But the money has been funded again. It's hard to say how long it's going to last. It sounds like several of our clients, about half of them had already received the funds, and about half of them are still waiting. So check with your bankers and see where you stand on getting those funds into your account. And that's probably the most important thing. I'll add, though, this week we've seen a really nice uptick in inquiries on businesses that we have listed. We currently have a little over 200 businesses listed in the Denver metro, well, really throughout the state, but mostly in the Denver metro area. And over the last 5-6 weeks, I mean, we were seeing, you know, maybe 4-6% of our normal activity. And that jumped up quite a bit last week. We're probably at 30-35% of our normal activity in terms of inquiries on businesses that we have listed. So it's really good to see that spike and see people engaging in, I guess, really it's the buyers coming around and engaging in the opportunities that we have listed. So for sellers, we know that there are three different situations. Some businesses are closed, some are just hobbling along, and others are thriving. And this may help, and it may hurt you. It could be either way. So businesses that are thriving and businesses that are hurt or shut down, either way, it's going to be looked at when you're looking back on your business results as a one-time non-recurring event. So it may not help. It may not hurt you. So there's different ways to value some different businesses, and we'll be looking at that. And I'll also add, Kim, that we're going to be doing a webinar through Transworld on Thursday, May 7th. It's going to be 8 in the morning. Kim, I'll send you our information on this webinar. It's open to anybody that wants to attend, but it's specifically titled How to Increase the Value of Your Business in Less Than 12 Months, Even If You Were Affected by COVID-19. So we're going to have a webinar for business owners. What's the valuation going to be like? How can they recover in less than 12 months? Things along those lines. You can obviously get our information through my website at ccsellsbiz.biz. ccsellsbiz.biz, or Kim, of course, my information's on your website. That's probably the easiest way, but connect with me if you want to learn a little bit more about this webinar for business owners.
Well, and, you know, coming through this disruption, there are people that, you know, may have been like in the education field that, you know, it looks like, you know, funding's going to be interesting there. Then maybe they're to a point that they might want to retire from that and buy a business. And so this could be a great opportunity for people that are going through this disruption and probably going to be making some kind of a change. There could be just some really cool stuff going on that they could do to increase their cash flow as they're moving on into into their latter years, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be some great opportunities for buyers. There's going to be some good valuations on some businesses. There's an ability to get some 401k relief. You won't have to pay that 10% early withdrawal penalty. So you can use that to either invest in a down payment or purchase a business. The SBA is going to be pretty active. Right now, they're deferring the 6 months of payments. So actually, it's not deferred. It's just withdrawn. So they're not adding them onto the back end. You're going to have 6 months of working capital building up because you're not making any payments to the SBA, which is great. And then we could see some interest rates as low as 5% on business loans. So there's going to be a lot of activity, a lot of opportunity for buyers to be able to buy some really nice businesses and be in control of their own destiny as entrepreneurs.
I love that, Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. So go to my website, kimmunson.com. Chris has his complete landing page there. This webinar on May 7th sounds like a great idea as well. So we'll keep people apprised of that. Chris Cantwell, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim. Have a great morning.
You bet. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Patty has found always great research, but Dr. Scott W. Atlas did an op-ed in The Hill, and he said the data is in, stop the panic, and end the total isolation. So we're going to go through some headlines when we come back, and then you'll want to make sure that you are here for segments 3 and 4 with Pam Long, who's written a very important op-ed that is at my website, kimmunson.com, as well as a wonderful podcast that is there as well. So we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And before we get into some of these headlines, I want to recommend Hooters Restaurants. You know, it's a difficult time for our restaurants, our bars, and our taverns. And Hooters Restaurants is a great partner of mine, and highly recommend that you drop by and pick up some dinner one of these evenings. It's very easy. Go to order.hooters.com. You can put your order in. You can just drive up. They'll bring it right out to you. Wednesdays are wing day, and if you order 20 wings, you get 10 for free. So you might want to do that tomorrow evening. So again, for more information, go to order.hooters.com. And we're going to get through this COVID-19 thing. We want to help our restaurants and our businesses and our taverns to do that. So, Steve, as we were going through the headlines here, you said that one of the ones that really jumped out at you was this piece in The Hill by Dr. Scott W. Atlas, where he has said the tragedy of the COVID-19 pandemic appears to be entering the containment phase. Tens of thousands of Americans have died, and Americans are now desperate for some sensible policymakers who have the courage to ignore the panic and rely on facts. Leaders must examine accumulated data to see what has actually happened. We're going to be talking with Pam Long in the next couple of segments about that. But he said there's five key facts that are being ignored by those calling for the continuing near total lockdown. Number one, he says that the overwhelming majority of people do not have any significant risk of dying from COVID-19. Number two, protecting older at-risk people eliminates hospital overcrowding. Now, to that point, remember the headline yesterday, Steve, that in fact Governor Cuomo is requiring nursing homes in New York to take COVID-19 patients. So he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. They say that they want to protect that population, but yet they're doing things to put them at risk. So what do you think about that, Steve?
Well, as you go through all five of these facts that Dr. Scott has put in this op-ed, I think we do well to maybe put this thought out there. And we're seeing it pop up in several different places. The left, the Dems, the leftist Dems, whatever you want to call them, they don't want to see this economy rebound before November. They want to see it staggering along, like a boxer who's just about to go down for the count. And basically, watching what the governor had to say yesterday, I think he's part of that group that we're going to do whatever we can to kind of just keep things off balance here. We don't seem to have this unified front of pushing forward. And therefore, that's all this ambiguity coming out of his mouth in terms of when we can open things up and which county can do this, which county can do that. So this is why this particular article that you're going through here caught my attention, because we alluded to it yesterday, and the previous show before ours has been really alluding to it. The two doctors in California who did kind of a press conference, it was almost an hour long, but they nailed some of the major talking points here in terms of comorbidity, like the fact that you just, number three, I think it was, that you just talked about, comorbidity, the way our immune systems actually work and what's happening when we quarantine all the healthy people, what's happening in their immunity systems. And you've heard it. It was coming out last week. Some, Yahoo somewhere says, oh my gosh, you better be ready for a second wave of the virus. It's like, well, if you've suppressed immune systems large scale like you have been, yes, there's going to be a second wave. So you need to look into the whys. And there we go back to our disclaimer from that you do at the top of the show.
Well, yes, And so I'm going to continue on. I cannot mention number three yet, so it's important that we reference that. He said that vital population immunity is prevented by total isolation policies, which is going to be prolonging the problem.
That's the one. I got ahead of myself. Yeah.
That's okay. And then we'll talk with Pam Long about that. Number four, people are dying because other medical care is not getting done due to hypothetical projections. And Patty had mentioned this to me, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday because we've had Dr. Jill Vecchio on. She's a radiologist and in the breast cancer business. And detection of breast cancer, we've shown early detection of breast cancer saves lives. But many people are not getting their mammograms. So there's going to be this whole population over here that we're putting them at risk. And the list just goes on and on and on with all of these quote-unquote non-essential or elective procedures. And the other thing, Steve, is there's these, I don't know, I want to say, I don't know if they're unintended consequences or not, but they're the consequences of it. So I heard a story recently of an eye surgeon that he's not doing any eye surgery. So he has a whole office of people that depend on him for their livelihoods, all the people that work for him, of course, all the people that need eye surgery. And of course, he has no income on that. Somebody sent me a video yesterday of a rancher in North Texas that said that they have herds of cattle that are ready to go to market, to go to the meatpacking plants, to put into our food supply, and because of the shutdown of the meatpacking plants, that in fact they don't know what to do with their herds. And he said that there's actually chickens that are being killed, there's pigs that are being killed, and they're not getting to market because of the shutdowns of these meatpacking plants. And we see the government coming in right here in Colorado. They swoop in and they close it down because we've had a couple of COVID-19 cases. Going back to number one on this, he says the overwhelming majority of people do not have any significant risk of dying, but they come in and they use that to close these down. And then you don't see any creativity or innovation on how to get those meatpacking plants back up and running as fast as possible. And so there's going to be some consequences from those decisions. And then the number five here from Dr. Atlas, Peace in the Hill, he says, we have a clearly defined population at risk who can be protected with targeted measures. The appropriate policy based on fundamental biology and the evidence already in hand is to institute a more focused strategy like some outlined in the first place. Strictly protect the known vulnerable, self-isolate the mildly sick, and open most workplaces and small businesses with some prudent large group precautions. So I think some common sense would be in order. But to your point, Steve, we have to ask why. Why on earth are these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties not working like crazy to get our economy opened back up so that people can go back out and, you know, create their businesses, go to their jobs so that they can take care of their families? That is the overriding question, is why? Because it doesn't make any sense unless there's some ulterior motive.
There you go.
And I think that you just alluded to it.
Well, the rest of Dr. Scott's open says, leaders must examine accumulated data to see what has actually happened, past tense, rather than keep or continue to emphasize hypothetical projections. Again, how many different people now have risen up and said, wait a minute, the models you are using are changing daily. All it takes is, you know, altering one little factor in that model and the end result is off by thousands. So he's making an incredibly valid point.
Well, and to the next piece, let's see here, and that is that courage is in short supply. This is from the powerlineblog.com by John Hinderaker on the coronavirus. And the question on the table is, will our elected officials ever have the courage to talk honestly about COVID-19? That is the question asked by a reader who despairs over the countless millions of lives being devastated by government's shutdown orders. Now, I'm very pleased that here in Douglas County, somehow the county commissioners have extricated us from this edict from Dr. John Douglas with Tri-County Health, who is continuing to shut down businesses in Adams and Arapahoe County. But we, and I was in this back and forth text thing yesterday with this person just totally blaming President Trump for all of this that is happening. And it is not President Trump's fault. It is these governors that are keeping these states shut down. That is who you need to be talking with, is our governors. And you also need to go to your city council people. Say, where are you? Where are you to be working to get our businesses back up and running? Where are you interfacing with the governors to get our towns and our businesses up and running? And then you go to county commissioners and you say, where are you to make this happen? And then you can go to your state representatives and the governor. But this stuff of us just being keyboard cowboys, you know, back and forth complaining on the internet and not doing anything about it, my friends, it is time for you to step forward and start to do something about this. And that is you need to start to put pressure on your city council people, on your county commissioners, on your representatives, and this governor to start to use some common sense and get us back up and running. Because if we don't, every day there's going to be more and more businesses that will not come back. And to use government policy to take away people's livelihoods is antithetical to the American idea. So, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. I'm in one of those moods this morning, aren't I?
Well, I tend to agree with you, though, Kim. The president never gave any direct orders that the country should be shut down. The White House put out a set of guidelines, and each state, led by the governor, decided, you know, whether they were going to be more restrictive than that or far less restrictive. So, you know, even after Trump sent the media chasing their tails when he said he had absolute authority, his actual actions have demonstrated tremendous deference to the states and not, you know, behaving in any kind of an authoritative fashion.
And it is fascinating. And so we're seeing, and I think we talked a little bit about it yesterday, Jason, is that typically in times of crisis, government officials, you know, so politicians and bureaucrats, they step forward and they take more power. And it's on both sides of the aisle. I remember during the 9/11 thing when the Patriot Act was being presented, and it's like, oh, I'm thinking this is not really the proper role of government. But I kind of justified it in myself. Okay, if we want to keep people safe. But then we've seen over the years what happened with the Patriot Act. And now we've got government that is, they have drones that are watching people, talking about taking their temperatures. And so we need to stand for the Constitution and the vision of the Declaration. And we have, this is a defining moment on that. So, but Jason, I know that's not what we're going to talk about. What's going on with the markets?
Well, I'm the one that brought it up, so it's fine, Kim, but no problem. You know, the markets, I had what I think was a very constructive day yesterday. The S&P broke above 2879 yesterday, now just barely, but it did clear it. So that was a push above that latest recent high, which I think is good. The NASDAQ also took out the recent highs, and the Dow is very, very close. It's just running just a tiny bit behind. But, you know, all three of those indexes are now back above the 50-day moving average, Kim. Boy, I'd like to see a little bit more volume on these big up moves, but the futures are indicating about a 400-point open for the Dow right now, so maybe today will be the day that the strong volume comes in and the second stage ignites, so to speak.
Well, and I know that's what you're looking for, is that volume. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. So let's talk about it tomorrow morning again, Jason McBride. And I'd recommend people go to our landing page together, airpresidential.com. airpresidential.com, because you've done this excellent piece regarding the CARES Act that people can get.
Yes, absolutely. There have been some changes to your IRA, some of them temporary, but most of them giving you more flexibility and less restrictions. So maybe we should call it the anti-shutdown rules on your retirement accounts, because everything has gotten easier and more choice, at least for now. But yeah, you got to take advantage while you can and if you need to. So absolutely, download that piece on the CARES Act. Give one of our fine advisors a call if you have questions or need help with anything having to do with your finances, planning, or investing. That's 303-694-1600, Kim, 303-694-1600.
Perfect, and we will talk to you tomorrow, Jason McBride. Thanks so much, and that's Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. Have a great day.
You too, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Pam Long has written a very important piece that you can find at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. It's about Colorado COVID-19 data and lessons learned from the 1918 influenza pandemic. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is truly an independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
I want to love you the best that I can.
Hey, welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Pam Long. She has written a very important piece looking at the data, this COVID-19 data, and then also comparing it, to, as many of these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties do, to the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic. She knows what she's talking about. She is a West Point grad and a former captain in the Army and was with the Army Medical Service Corps. And so, Pam Long, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim. I hope you're having a terrific Tuesday.
I am. And just a shout out on the website, we have started this Sounding Off with Kim Munson. And if you go to that, we've got the two latest episodes that are there. And then right underneath that, click on that. And that goes to our other podcast there. And you and I did a great podcast as well. So I'd recommend people check that out, Pam Long. So take us through this. You've put a lot of thought into this op-ed that you've written here for us.
Well, great. First, I'd like to suggest we have a little homeschool lesson here on the data and how to be a good consumer of the data just by the basic principles of Farr's Law. Farr's Law was established, you know, back in 1840. This is something that has been applied in every epidemic situation since then. And so the simple thing about Farr's Law is that every epidemic has a symmetrical normal bell curve. It rises, there's an arc, and it declines. So how do we apply that to the data today? So when you look at my data from report date of cases of COVID, you see this smooth climb and arc, and now we're in the decline. We've been in the decline since April 2nd. But when you look at what Governor Polis presented as recent as yesterday in the press conference, he is referring and showing you a graph with a plateau. And what Farr's Law would tell you is that something is happening in that data by using the onset date instead of the reported date, which is very unreliable. Someone's guessing at your onset of infection. That there's inflation in these numbers past the arc. That Farr's Law does not allow for that type of behavior in a virus. So the data is off. And when you look at my data, actually, it's off too, because you should see this symmetrical curve, and you don't in leading up into the arc. And what we know now is coming from Stanford and USC, Southern California, that the virus was here in November, and we are missing cases that are not accounted for in December, January, February. And what does that do? It increases the people who are already infected by thousands, but we're seeing confirmed in antibody tests. And that means the death rate is very low, a 0.1%, not the catastrophic death rate that was predicted in the models. So all that to say, the takeaway from our homeschool lesson today on the radio is that this virus is predictable. It is not a roller coaster where we could see some surprise jump in May, June, or July. And we should not be taking action that is dependent on human behavior, such as, you know, people wearing these paper-like masks and social distancing. That's completely an social experiment. And by the size of our gathering, the virus will peak and decline all on its own, completely independent of our human behavior.
But you said something about the plateau that means that something's wrong with the data. And yesterday, Pam, we talked about, we got a hold of a letter that was sent by a local facility, a senior care facility, where the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment has come in and is overriding the attending physician's death certificate, a cause of death, and putting down COVID-19. And the letter said that in the history of their institution, that has never happened. So my friends, what this means is we've got these bureaucrats coming in and changing the data so that I think that then Governor Polis can come out and give us his edicts on making us stay at home. And there's something that I'm really concerned about on that, Pam Long.
Well, absolutely. Starting on April 7th, the White House announced that we should be coding all of our patients as COVID-19. All of our deaths, even people post-mortem after they've died, can be coded as COVID-19. And why? Earlier you were saying we should start asking why. There is a financial incentive to code everything COVID-19. You get three times as much money, reimbursement and federal funds, a stimulus, all these things. If you are a patient with COVID, if you are treated for COVID, if you die from COVID, there's a financial incentive to be coded as COVID, in addition to what you alluded to earlier, as there's some type of agenda going on here.
So let's go through your piece here that you've done, because we hear that there may be a second wave, that September it could be really bad and there's a second wave, which, again, scares people to death. So what's your thoughts on that, Pam Long?
Well, you know, history teaches us from 1918 that during a second wave, if we look at the worst case scenario, the most, you know, fatal second wave in history that possibly killed up to 50 million people worldwide. Now, remember some context here. You know, 1918, we didn't have all of our therapeutic treatments available that we have today, such as help with oxygen, antibiotics. But during that second wave, they found three things. One, that you could gain herd immunity from the first wave. So there's benefit in going out and getting what would be in the first wave a more mild form of the illness. And second, it was a very protective effect, not up to 89% against death, 94% against infection. This was very beneficial and worthwhile. And then third, and the most critical, is that second wave was more fatal amongst people who contracted the illness in the second wave. So, my heart right now are for people who live paycheck to paycheck. We're looking at, we just don't have good data, but we have some good anecdotal information about people in the African American communities, in the Latino communities. You know, we saw drone footage in San Antonio of 10,000 people in line at a food bank. These people are in fear and they're vulnerable and they're at risk. That's a heavy Latino community. And we see here in Denver, I know of a African American church, one church that lost 14 members. So these people are living in fear, both of the virus and the effects of the economic shutdown. And I would encourage them to look at my paper and make a decision based on their own pre-existing conditions and baseline health. Is it more beneficial to get out there and get your livelihood going, save both your life and your livelihood potentially by getting this collective immunity, what some people refer to as herd immunity, now, so that if there is a second wave in the fall, since these viruses are very predictable, we're not going to have a surprise in May, June, or July. It's when those temperatures and sunlight start to decrease in the fall that you'll see this uptick in respiratory illnesses. So think and consider the risk and the benefit.
Okay, let's go back. You said, what about this African American church? You said they lost 14 members. Was this to COVID-19 or was it from other things as well?
Well, we with the way we're coding deaths, we don't really know for sure. However, I think it is plausible that, you know, if you have people who don't have good baseline health, who are elderly and have if they're having any risk factors, they're more at risk. So, you know, definitely are, you know, people who have health disparities traditionally in the African-American and Latino communities, they would be more at risk. So, you know, if a pastor tells me I had 14 people die of COVID, I believe him. I believe that is his reality, and I have concern for him, but I would also have greater concern that if that's the first wave, then we need to start thinking about the second wave, which goes into my recommendations of how are we going to improve baseline health prior to a second wave in the fall, and what are the treatments we know now that work? We have an ethical responsibility to be directing people to effective treatments available now, not waiting for a vaccine up to 5 years in the future, and making every resource available, you know, from high-end healthcare to, you know, known herbs over history that have demonstrated antiviral properties that are available to anyone, anywhere.
Okay, Pam Long, let's go to break. When we come back, we want to go through these recommendations and continue just noodling around what we think is going on, because I don't see real leadership in trying to get to solutions to get our economies back up and going, because you've mentioned in one of your other pieces, I guess it was in the podcast that we talked about, you talked about the deaths of despair. And so let's go to break. We'll continue the conversation with Pam Long, West Point grad, former Army captain with the Army Medical Services Corps. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N. KimWinery.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. On the line with me is Pam Long. She's written a very important piece. You can find that at KimMunson.com, as well as our podcast together. Pam Long, you know what you're talking about. You graduated from West Point, former Army captain with the Army Medical Service Corps. So you know what you're talking about. And there's one other thing on your bio that I wasn't quite sure what that is exactly, which you served with some kind of a force. It was a SFOR Task Force Med Eagle. What's that exactly, Pam Long?
That is a stabilization force, or what people would know as a peacekeeping force, in the theater of Bosnia during the conflict there in the early 2000s.
Okay, and you said you worked in medical intelligence there as well, so that's pretty interesting. So let's go ahead and jump in here, though. You have in this piece that a couple of different scenarios how you would advise the governor on this COVID-19. So explain our listeners your thoughts on that.
So my first recommendation would be that all of our policy makers and health experts would have to stop this promotion of social distancing. This is not evidence-based. Germany has found that transmission of COVID is primarily through close, prolonged living conditions, and there is no evidence of transmission in these casual contacts in the grocery stores or restaurants. That needs to stop, and people need to be encouraged to go out, live their lives, and get herd immunity. My second recommendation is this summer, May, June, July, we need to start educating the public on improving their baseline health through vitamin supplementation, that specifically vitamins A, C, and D, possibly glutathione for people who need extra immune support, and nutrition. And thirdly, before this fall, before September, any potential second wave, our state leaders must establish effective treatments for coronavirus that are available now. That is our ethical obligation, not putting out a hope for a vaccine in the future, 5 years from now. We know by our own National Institute of Health, that is our elite medical experts, that chloroquine, the antiviral, and zinc, and sometimes the need for antibiotics for secondary bacterial infections, those treatments work and are effective. The word is potent in the research, potent. You just have to be careful of people who are elderly with heart issues, with the dosing. And then also before September, we need state leaders to analyze the treatment protocols that did not have life-saving outcomes, specifically this ventilation with pressure. You have doctors speaking out everywhere that the patients who are severe in the ICU do not need pressure in the lungs. They just need oxygen. And then along with that, I would just add that hypertension is huge here. This is very important. 58% of our COVID patients in the ICU had hypertension. 60% of our COVID deaths had hypertension. These are people on drugs, these ACE inhibitors, that upregulate the ACE2 receptors that bind with COVID and make it more severe. We need to take a second look on the drugs our patients are on for hypertension. And then lastly, before September, we need state leaders to investigate all alternative medications that are showing therapeutic value. We have doctors saying they have treated patients and have had zero deaths and zero hospitalizations using very simple nebulized iodine, nebulized hydrogen peroxide, some things like colloidal silver that the general public might not be aware of but are internationally well known, and then basic herbs that over the course of history have demonstrated antiviral properties. We're talking about echinacea, astragalus, elderberry, golden seal, olive leaf. These things are very powerful and very cost-effective and very readily available. And if you're talking about a second wave that is potentially more fatal, we need every resource on the table for both people who don't have access in our remote geographic areas and people who don't have access just by, the cost factor of medical care today.
Okay. And so what you're talking about is solutions. And we have not seen solutions coming out of a bunch of these PBIs. What we see is this overreach of power. We see that, and I think some of these folks are just drunk on power. And so let's go back to this chloroquine, because I thought I saw a headline last week that the National Institute of Health said that chloroquine or the hydroxychloroquine Quinn, should not be used except in a hospital environment. And but yet I'm seeing all kinds of reports that doctors are saying that it works. Now, you mentioned the dosage needs to be correct on that. But in fact, I had come across an article of a doc down in Galveston, Texas, and I reached out to him and got a hold of his administrative assistant. And I said, I'd love to get him on the show because he had a piece that says this hydroxychloroquine is working. But yet we're seeing it being poo-pooed in the mainstream media. And if it's working, it's like, and if you're, you know, headed towards death, let me try it. So what's your thoughts on that, Pam Long?
Well, I mean, historically has a great track record. Our military has been using chloroquine for 70 years to send soldiers, you know, healthy soldiers, healthy young soldiers to various places in the world to work for against malaria and antiviral. It's very powerful. Small side effects, although there's always contraindications for certain people. But, you know, overall, safe and effective. And so I think it's interesting that, you know, again, teaching your listeners to be good consumers of what they're hearing. Just because you hear one study came out last week that says, I don't know, we have our doubts about chloroquine, it doesn't work, it causes more death. It was like the same headline from 20 different sources just parroting this, you know, this chloroquine doesn't work. Well, like you said, Kim, if it's a conversation between you and your doctor, you know, right to try, right? It's my life. I have a right to try it.
Well, and so with that, and one of the positives that maybe is going to be coming out of this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption is the fact that we have seen that people have said that they care about people, you know, these different politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties. When it comes right down to it, they are using their power to keep livelihoods shut down. They're poo-pooing in the media a treatment that might really work. And so the veil is off, I think, on a particular agenda out there. People that have said they care about people, maybe not so much. One other thing, Pam Long, I was talking to a woman who's a former nurse yesterday, and she said that under Polis's edict, that there is a standard of care that if a decision needs to be made about the end-of-life decision for someone, that it is now... there's no patient representative in that group, nor a family member. And yet these are the people that say that they care about folks, but yet they do not have a family member or a patient advocate that might be making some kind of end-of-life decisions. Are you familiar with that at all, Pam Long?
Well, I'm absolutely hearing that many procedures, even childbirth, that the spouse will not be allowed to go with the mother. You know, all these, what they deem elective surgeries, these are not elective surgeries. These are very, you know, invasive, you know, whether you're having a C-section or you need a scan or a biopsy. These are people at their most vulnerable. We all need an advocate. And I would tell anyone going into any type of surgery or procedure in the hospital to, you know, make your case that you need your advocate, because even a, you know, clear-minded adult under a vulnerable situation like that needs someone advocating for them.
So there's some very serious things happening under the surface, and yet you don't have to look that far to see them. I'm going to be reading Governor Polis's most recent edict and want to comment on that here within the next few days. But I know that you've been watching his press conferences. Pam, we've got about 2.5 minutes left. What's the kind of the final thoughts that you would like to leave with our listeners regarding these press conferences and then also moving forward? So what would you like to have our listeners know?
My biggest concern right now is this contact tracing. Contact tracing sounds nice, but this is born out of skip tracing. Skip tracing is a system designed for people at risk of skipping town. These are people who have allegedly committed a crime and have a court hearing or a bail hearing or a debt to be paid. And this is a tracking system so that we can find those people and bring them to justice. This is a surveillance state in the making, and I'm so sorry to end on a negative note, but people should be just crying from the rooftops that the safety issue of COVID-19 does not warrant this privacy violation of tracking people like they're fugitives.
Well, I'm very concerned about that as well, Pam Long. So I would highly recommend that people go to my website and take a look at this op-ed that you have written regarding the COVID-19 and comparing that to the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. And one point that, again, I want people to realize is back in 1918, you mentioned this, we did not have all the therapeutics and all the antibiotics and all the things that we have now. So as people are trying to scare us about that particular pandemic, let's keep that in perspective. So, Pam Long, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate this conversation.
Thank you so much, Kim.
So, my friends, there's a lot going on out there, and we need to be stepping up. You need to be reaching out to your city council people, your councilmen and women. You need to be reaching out to your county commissioners. This is a nation that was founded on a government that is by the people, for the people. And when we see these PBIs, these politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties surveying, keeping surveillance on healthy people and telling us where we can and cannot go and what we can do and shutting down our livelihoods, we need to be standing up, my friends. And so today is the day that we turn this around. So with that, our quote for today is from H.L. Mencken. And he said, "I believe that it is better to tell the truth than a lie. I believe it is better to be free than a slave. And I believe it is better to know than to be ignorant." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals and, like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.